Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards this morning, but listen anyway. We will be throughout the show blending in some of Dean's usual segments, as well as doing some things on our own today. So hopefully you will be with us through the entire show here till 1 o'clock. Happy Pride Day. Pride Parade kicking off in a little bit more than an hour or so, 11 o'clock from Broadway and Sheridan. And as I said, big show, big day today in Chicago. Not only do we have the Pride Parade, always a major, major fun event in Chicago, but then later in the evening, talk about a fun event, Rolling Stones, night two at Soldier Field. But right now we've got some excitement on the phone. It's Dr. Jeremy Silver, the Medical Director of Emergency Medicine at Northwestern Medicine Kishwani Hospital. Good morning there, Dr. Silver.
Good morning, Jim. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. And the last time we talked, if you remember, we had some connection problems, so I'm going to keep my fingers crossed this time.
Same here. I think we'll be okay today.
Very good. In honor, tribute, whoever you want to call it, of Pride Month, which June has been, and especially today, the culmination here in Chicago of Pride Month, the Pride Day Parade, I thought it might be interesting to give us a little update as to where we are in the overall treatment and hopefully working toward a cure in the HIV/AIDS world. This started in the 80s as a horrendous epidemic, and it has been a very controversial medical issue over the last 40 some years. But we are today in a period, it seems, that that people that with HIV now certainly are living long and healthy lives thanks to the advances that we've had in the medical technology world, and many AIDS groups are looking to hopefully eradicate AIDS by 2030. Not sure if that's an ambitious goal, considering that we're already at 2024, but just wondering, where are we right now in the world of AIDS treatment and HIV?
Well, you know, I think you've summed it up nicely. It's been a sea change, and for those who are infected with the virus, it sort of is a golden era compared to where we were in the 1980s. When HIV was a death sentence and most people had about a year to live following diagnosis. Whereas today, it's a chronic disease, and most folks with the virus, if treated properly, will live a full life and die of other causes. Now, HIV, just to remind those listening at home, is a virus that attacks the body's immune system. And so that's why it's such a tricky nut to crack, because the immune system is so very complex. And AIDS is sort of the kind of end result when things really go haywire in the immune system and kind of the terminal phase of the illness. But we've gone from having one drug and a lot of mainly public resistance to even wanting to dig our heads out of the sand and see this for what it was, to having pre-exposure prophylaxis, so a drug that you can take every day if you're at high risk for exposure to prevent getting the virus. We've gone from folks having, just as you mentioned, horrific destruction of the immune system and rare cancers and horrible infectious diseases that ravage the body, a state where if you have an undetectable amount of viral load, then you're basically not able to transmit the virus. Undetectable equals untransmittable. So just a massive change, a massive shift. Still work to do. Having the virus does increase the pro-inflammatory factors in the body, and so folks with HIV are more likely to develop heart disease and a variety of other conditions. So I think still more work to be done, but yes, there's definitely something to celebrate today.
And the thing that's interesting to your point, I mean, if you look back over the decades, as you said, in the 80s, sadly, when HIV first became prevalent, it literally was a death sentence. It was, there was no cure. There was nothing to even try to suppress this. And then in the 90s, there were new advancements to slow the disease somewhat. And then I guess in the 2000s is when the AIDS, so-called the AIDS cocktail, came about, where there was a mixture of different drugs that people could have that it would at least suppress the virus. Ironically, many people might not know this, but Dr. Fauci, who has become such a controversial character due to COVID, was also a leading player in the AIDS dilemma or crisis, whatever you want to call it, right at the beginning, because he's always been working in infectious disease. So he played a major role in that as well.
He did. And I think that whole group of people, from the early sufferers to the more recent survivors, really owe a debt of gratitude to Dr. Fauci, regardless of what you might think of him recently with respect to the COVID pandemic. He oversaw the NIH and the development of these, quote, highly active antiretroviral drugs, which have essentially coalesced into a single pill that you can take every day and keep the virus undetectable in your body. So I think people will look back at him very differently, 20, 30 years from now. You're right.
And because a younger generation now, those of us who've been around long enough to have seen when the AIDS epidemic began and what a horrendous disease it had and the impact that it had on especially on the gay community, but also on intravenous drug users as well. It wasn't discriminating, just like COVID. And it's gone through a lot of political and societal prejudices as well. But now, because we've been able to handle it, like you said, we've turned it into a terminal disease, into a chronic disease, which is huge. Younger people don't seem to be as aware of its dangers. And I think from what I understand in the AIDS world, in the HIV and AIDS world, the goal now is to remove that stigma of HIV and make sure that people are aware of it, make sure people get tested. And like you said, take some preventive drugs that are available to help prevent it, to basically make people more aware that this still is out there, it still can be dangerous, and to remove that stigma of, well, I'm not going to take an AIDS test or something like that. Is that sort of where we're at right now?
Well, I think so. And, you see it in the emergency department. I think younger people are more willing to kind of to say, yes, I'd like you to test me when they've engaged in risky behavior, which, by the way, is essentially having sex without a condom. And sharing needles, of course, would be another risk factor. So I think that the stigma is changing, and I think young folks recognize, hey, look, better to know and treat than to not know, and essentially become a loaded gun, so to speak. I would definitely encourage testing if there's any question at all.
So is the AIDS cocktail now the used medication, or have we moved past the AIDS cocktail, which was a mixture of different medications?
Yeah, so there's really kind of two main approaches. Without getting into the weeds, there's pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is a pill that one can take before being exposed, essentially before sex. And then there's post-exposure treatment, where you've been diagnosed and you're being treated with a pill. Now, it's not for everybody. It depends on a variety of factors. So, I would leave that to the infectious disease experts. But essentially, there's treatment available, and it comes in different forms depending on your characteristics as a person.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I knew a few people, sadly, that contracted HIV and AIDS in the 80s and did die in their 30s, which was just terrible to see. And at the same time, I have a good friend who contracted HIV in the early 90s, and she is still alive and still leading a healthy life. So it really is an amazing road that the medical profession has been on, to not only focus on this, but to give people who have this disease, or HIV, the virus, it's certainly not the dire news that we had before. And hopefully, the goal moving forward is to cure AIDS completely. So it sounds like we're on that road, at least, right, Doctor?
I think it's fair to say, and I think the bigger, the more important message here is that we decided that we're going to see everybody as a human. And when you see everybody as you see yourself, then the willingness to invest in public health infrastructure and treatments opens up significantly.
Dr. Jeremy Silver is joining us here in the health segment today. Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards. We'll be back with Dr. Silver right after this message. No switching. Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards this morning, and we are in the midst of our health segment today with Dr. Jeremy Silver, who is the Medical Director of Emergency Medicine at Northwestern Medicine Kishwaukee Hospital. And, Doctor, you also wanted to talk today about some medications that might have different effects given the hot weather. We've been under some crazy weather of late, really hot, humid weather, and you wanted to talk about some medications and the effects that the hot weather can have.
But yes, Jim, thanks for giving me a little pulpit here. You mentioned humidity. That's equally important. When you look at the news and you look at the weather, you often see a topic called the heat index, which essentially takes into account the humidity. And, of course, humidity is a limiting factor on your body's ability to sweat. The more vapor pressure in the air, the less likely your body is to release the water in, under your own skin. And so that creates an even higher effective temperature. And so when the temps, get over 90, or the heat index gets over 90, folks need to be thoughtful about whether their medications may make it more difficult for them to function in that environment. And essentially, you have sort of two ways of regulating your temperature. Your brain regulates it, of course. Brain sort of tells your body what to do, and then your body reacts by dilating all those blood vessels, so the heat inside your body can transmit up to the skin level, and then your skin releases heat in the form of sweat, which then evaporates into the air. And the hotter it is and the more humid it is, the harder it is for that sweat to get out. And so the stress of trying to function in that situation where you're trying to regulate your own temperature, particularly in those people who are elderly over 65 or those that are on a series of medications, can totally cause havoc. And so there's a series of drugs that I'll just, if I have time, I can go through very quickly if you'd like.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes if you can.
Sure. So number one, blood thinners. So drugs like Eliquis or Warfarin or Coumadin so act to raise the body temperature and make it more difficult to release heat. Drugs like water pills, as people think of them, or diuretics like Lasix or even some blood pressure medications can interfere with fluid balance. Antidepressants and antipsychotics, which many people take, anything from Prozac, to Lexapro, to Paxil, Cymbalta, Effexor, and on and on and on, can lead to difficulty managing heat and overheating. Parkinson's drugs would be in the same category. Likewise, drugs that you might think are safe, quote-unquote antihistamines, so Benadryl or other decongestants like Sudafed, actually inhibit sweating, which, of course, can lead to overheating. I would mention that there are some classes of antibiotics that can make your skin more photosensitive, meaning that you're more likely to get a sunburn if you're taking any of the cyclines, tetracycline, doxycycline, et cetera. And then finally, non-steroidals, these drugs that are over-the-counter, Motrin, Aleve, Advil, all that class of medication can lead to decreased blood flow as they act on the kidneys. And can cause fainting and difficulty in the heat.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When it gets to be in the 90s and humid, I have no problem sweating. In fact, I don't even have any problem sweating when it's 60. So
you're all set then, Jim. You have nothing to worry about.
Thank you so much. Dr. Jeremy Silver, I appreciate you taking your time on a Sunday to join us. He's the medical director of emergency medicine at Northwestern Medicine Kishwaukee Hospital. Thank you so much. Hopefully we'll talk soon again.
Take care. Keep sweating.
Yeah, oh, believe me, that's no problem.